This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.
Welcome to Package for Success, the podcast where glass ceilings come with ladders and success is part of the package. This is your go-to audio space celebrating the remarkable journeys of women leading the way in the consumer packaged goods industry.
Every episode, we're going to unwrap the stories of trailblazing entrepreneurs who are shaping the future of CPG. From groundbreaking startups to iconic brands, these leaders are innovating, inspiring, and pushing the boundaries.
If you're joining us, then hopefully you're ready to dive into the strategies behind our success, the lessons learned from our challenges, and the insights gained from our experiences. Now, whether you're a budding entrepreneur, a seasoned executive, or someone who loves a good success story, Package for Success is your insider's guide to the dynamic world of CPG.
So get ready to be empowered, inspired, and equipped with the knowledge to forge your own path to success. Because here we believe that when entrepreneurs lead, we all succeed. So let's get started.
Let's get into it. Yes, yes, yes. I am so excited. I'm Christian.
And I'm Amanda.
And we are the hosts of Package for Success. Now, if you have not already, then we highly encourage you, okay? This is your CTA for the day to subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review on iTunes because other people need to know that they need to be over here listening and joining the community.
Yeah, absolutely. And make sure you listen to episode one because now we're getting ready to jump into the real meat of it all. And so I think episode one was great because we got to know a little bit about our background as hosts of the show and how it brought us together. But there's so much more that happened behind the scenes, right? Or years prior. So we definitely want to jump into that as we go into episode two.
Yes, yes. So that's really good because I think that a foundation is necessary for you guys to know why you should be listening, why you should even care or consider our knowledge, wisdom, experiences as something that you can learn from or that can at least be valuable enough for you to just sit in on and be a part of building the community here in ways that you may not have known that you should share your story or that you should lean in more on building community with people around you. And that's really what we want to encourage everyone to do because Package for Success, even though our focus is for CPG, I think like our lives in general, every day, we're out here like starting new. Yeah.
Yeah. And for sure. Well, I mean, just like with you having chat with CEO, that's a service platform that allowed other entrepreneurs to come in and let their stories come to the forefront and allow them to explain their brand. So I think, yeah, this can work for all industries. I think even for myself, I'm not in the service industry as far as like for sales or anything like that. But I've always felt like I've serviced to our community with entrepreneurs and stuff like that. And however I can be an assistant. So I think that's great. I think it works for both sides.
Yes. All going towards the mark, repressing towards the mark of success. So today we are going to dive into, I know you guys are ready. You all wanted to know after episode one, like what do y'all do?
Credentials.
Yes. What are the credentials? Give me the LinkedIn bio, baby. Don't look me up on LinkedIn. Okay. My profile is not set up. All right. I got a picture.
It's getting there though.
Yeah, it's getting there. Maybe by the time this airs, I will have something there. All right.
Sounds like a
plan. Get somebody on. Amanda, I may, you know, have to lean in, you know,
be like, let's do it.
Help me. Help me set this up. No, but we're going to give our background today and share more about our companies, about our businesses, what we do. Past, present, and future, if you will, because I think like it helps to, again, build the foundation and the relationship for you all to be able to connect and know. And if you want to follow like our journeys of our companies and just see what we're doing, let us know that you're, you know, that you're a PFS listener. We definitely will follow you back and just share that love and build that relationship and community with you guys too. So I would love You know, I would love for Amanda to kick us off.
You know, I was really thinking that you would be the one to lead us the way. You have 5 years in this. And I just think.
I mean, you're going to twist my arm, Amanda. You know, if you're going to force me to speak into the mic, I will do the thing. Okay, so I think like we can kind of really navigate this kind of like how we did our chat with CEOs, but instead of me not sharing this time, I will share. So I am the CEO and co-founder of Vicky Cakes Pancake and Waffle Mix. We are a pancake and waffle mix that is created off of my mother's 40 plus year pancake mix recipe. Her name is Vicky, not Vicky. A lot of people used to think that I was, which is so funny, but yeah, it is her recipe, and it's been in our family for a very long time. I'm 35 right now, getting ready to go turn 36 on the 6th of March, but it's been around since before I was born. And it really was a staple for our family because she was a single mom of four and did not have extra income. And she was from the South. So she's from Cleveland, Mississippi. And this was one of those from scratch recipes that she perfected herself, because who got money to be going to Denny's and down to the IHOP and the Jedi's? She didn't. She did not have the money. But we didn't miss that. And that was a key element growing up, that we loved eating meals at home because that was our norm. We didn't miss restaurants because that was never our regular experience. Our regular experience was sitting at our table in our small home in Gary, Indiana, and waiting for whatever she put on our plate. And these pancakes were the jam, okay? Like, I can still see the sunlight piercing through our living room. I can still remember smelling the scent of the vanilla extract that she would use in the batter, hearing her beat the side of the bowl like while whipping it, smelling the Eckrich sausage cooking, the baking, frying. It was everything. Like, we would get up, make our beds, get dressed immediately, and then come to the table. And we were like, it was four of us, but we were like filed into line, like just sit at our seats. Like, we always sit at the same place at the table. And she would make these pancakes, and they were so fluffy and so delicious. And time, you know, would take it where everybody that came over to our house wanted these pancakes. Like, our cousins that would spend the night wanted these pancakes. People who would come get their hair pressed by my mom wanted these pancakes. Like, this was the thing. And so growing up, you know, like, things that are normal to you, you don't really see them as spectacular. They're just your norm, your experience. And so I got married in 2009, and Courtney and I moved to Mississippi because that's where he's from. So I have this recipe. Okay. We get married 2009. I'm 21, not cooking nothing from scratch, because who was doing that? So I had this recipe, but I was not making these pancakes for this man. I didn't even know how to make pancakes. Like, I was such a horrible pancake maker, Lord. Like, I was jumping when it was time to flip. I would have Courtney come flip the pancakes. Y'all, I haven't even shared these stories with our community. I was a trash pancake maker. I would be scared when it was time to flip because I didn't want anyway. So I wasn't even good at it. I was buying Bisquick at the time, and I was doctoring it up to make it taste like my mother's with her recipe in my phone, in my notes, but wasn't using it. So I would buy the pouches of Bisquick mix, and I would try to add buttermilk to it. I would add vanilla. I was trying to make it taste like what I remember back at home, but it would never give. And so that would cause us to have pancakes rarely. Like, I would make them once every blue moon. And we went back home to Indiana for Thanksgiving in 2013, and my mom made the pancakes. We're all sitting there, me and my siblings, eating. Courtney's the only new variant in this circle. Okay. So he's the only new unsuspecting person at the table. So we're eating. My sister's on her third one. My brother-in-law's, you know, on his second or third helping. And Courtney's sitting at this table, literally dumbfounded, like, how are y'all acting like this is normal? He was like, these pancakes are the best pancakes I've ever had, Miss Vicky. And so she laughed, and we just thought it was so funny. I was like, yeah, we grew up eating these. And he was like, no. You all should be selling these, and they should be called Vicky Cakes. Like, they are so light and fluffy and airy like a cake. and you don't feel full. Like, the more I'm eating, like, I can keep eating these. And so she laughed and she was like, oh no, Courtney, I could never sell these. I would end up giving them away. And so I always like to say, my mama is in the ministry of giving. I'm in the donations, and I'm in the ministry of deposits. There was no way we were starting a company and giving away nothing. Like, ma'am, have you looked at the cost of goods? But even at that time, like, I didn't grow up with an entrepreneurial exposure. Like, nobody in my family owned a legitimate business. Like, my grandma was a hustler. She definitely sold cakes off her porch. Let's be very clear. But nobody had like a structured business that they did and operated. There were more hustlers than there were actual owners. And so I didn't hear the word entrepreneur until I was 22 at church, BU. You know, like, remind you, it was from a pastor whose wife had a braiding salon. And then that's when that acumen and that mindset was actually downloaded into me and my husband. And by 2013, Courtney had already had his second or third business at that point. And he had the entrepreneurial knack, but I didn't. And I didn't want to start a business either. So him suggesting Vicky Cakes was like, that's precious. We're not doing anything with that. So I didn't. And I sat on it and I just let it, you know, continue to be something that he mentioned every 6 months. Like, Christian, when you gonna stop planning to make these pancakes? Christian, why you ain't make these pancakes? And when we gonna start Vicky Cakes? And I'd be like, let's wait. And then we had a son. And I was like, well, let's wait till CJ's walking. And, you know, let's wait till he speaks French. And I just had all of the reasons. Girl, I had all of the reasons. And so fast forward to 2019. We're 10 years later, y'all. And it's funny because now I'm sitting here talking to one of my friends who, you know, won on Shark Tank. But we watched so many seasons of Shark Tank and always would talk during the commercials or pause during the episodes and be like, if they got to deal with this, what can we be doing? Like, what do we know? What do we have that we can, you know, do a business with? And Vicky Cakes never came to mind for me. Like, it's something that I could put out there in the world that people would support, love, like, and that would make us a living. And so 2019, I remember, I don't know what sparked it, y'all. I really don't remember, but I know I was sitting on the floor in our bedroom and I looked up the top selling pancake mix in America. It did not come up as anything that I expected. It was Aunt Jemima at the time. And I was like, what? And when I saw the numbers that they did annually, I was like, there's no way these people are making this much money off of pancake mix. But that was exactly what they were able to do as the leading brand in the world. And I was like, okay, so I did more research and I looked into it deeper and I started finding out that the people who owned that brand didn't look like me. And then I read more history on the character that they created, the mascot for the brand. And I was like, do people know this? Like, do people care, first of all? Then, right. Like, what is the other side of this? And I just started almost feeling like hot inside, like I was on fire. I literally felt like I was on fire internally. And I was like, there is no way that this is okay. Like, I didn't know about cultural appropriation. I didn't know that there was a term for that or any of it. I just knew that I was upset that someone was able to make money off of an ex-slave and her image and then using different women throughout the years. As one died, they got another woman and another woman, and another woman. And it really hurt me. And I was like, but my mama is a real Black woman though. And she really made this recipe and there's really a story here. And this really can be something that people enjoy and eat. And so that's when the vision became very clear sitting on that floor of what I could do, of what my contributions to the world could be through this product. And then I took it a step further and I started thinking about the memories at the table and how it made me feel and how even when we go back home to visit, I look forward to those moments as an adult with my adult siblings. And I was like, so many people can relate to this. Like, so many people would get that. So the next person I called was my mama. I called my mama. Very next person sit on that floor. And I didn't divulge like all of what I had found and what I was thinking. I just asked her, I said, would you be okay with Courtney and I turning your pancake mix into a company? And she was like, yes, Christian. She was like, absolutely, do it. And she was like, and I got more recipes. And I was like, wait a minute, focus. one at a time because it took me 10 years to do this. Okay. So she was totally for it. And after I talked to her for about an hour, and she just started telling me more history on her family and how she wished her mom would have left her cake mix recipes. Because it's funny now that it's called Vicky Cakes, but that's what my grandma Annie Golden was known for in Gary. She would bake for the city councilman. She would bake for the local churches. Everybody would come get their cakes off of her porch. And she was like, I wish that mama, that's what she called her, I wish that mama would have left her recipes to somebody. Like, she literally died and nobody knows any of her measurements or anything. And I was like, dang, that sucks. And she was like, and I don't want to do that. She was like, I don't want to do that to you all. She was like, that's why a lot of the recipes that I have, when people have asked me how to make certain dishes, I tell them, no, I'm leaving these to my daughters. And so I was like, good looking now, sis. Okay. So I called Courtney next. He was still working in corporate America. I'm going to speed this up. He was still working in corporate America. And I called him and I was like, what you doing? Dumb question when somebody's at work, right? I was like, what you doing? And he was like, I'm at work. And I was like, okay, well, I'm ready to do Vicky Cakes. And his first response wasn't great. Like, let's go. He was like, don't play with my emotions. And I was like, I'm not playing. I'm really ready to do Vicky Cakes. And he was like, okay. And I was like, yeah. So I'm the kind of person, like, once I commit to something, I've really thought it completely through very quickly. Let's be clear. Very quickly, I was like, this is what we need to do. And I think this should be the color for the bag. And let's, you know, like, do some mock-ups, because he's in graphic design and web design. So I was like, this is going to be a no-brainer. Like, he can give me some shit cranked out tonight, you know? I real, real unrealistic here. And so
you ChatGPT'd him.
Little, you know, he's Charlie. Okay. He's ChatGPT. I was like, we can do this. Da, 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 da. And by the end of that week, we had really came up with the full concept for it. I immediately got into looking for packaging samples, whoever I could get things from, like the little bags, the poly bags at the time. I knew I didn't want to do a box. It's crazy, Amanda, now that I think about it, but I didn't know any of the key elements that we know now about the CPG industry of what's your differentiator. I didn't know that there were certain things that you need to think about marketing-wise, your story, how to deliver it, and your talking points and your selling points, and what makes you competitive in the market. I didn't know that those were points to care about, but I had already considered them. I was on the phone like, yeah, I don't want to do a box because everybody already has a box. I've already looked at all the brands online and they're red and they're darker colors. I want something bright that pops and reminds you of a refreshing Saturday. Like, I remember the sun coming through our living room window through her plants. I had already thought of all of that. And so it's just something about being a visionary. Like, even when you don't know that you should be playing by certain rules and certain standards, you innately operate like that anyway, without anybody having to tell you. And so we launched Vicky Cakes on Mother's Day. I knew that element. I was like, I want to drop it on Mother's Day as a gift to my mom, because I don't want to wait for her to pass away and do this in her honor. I want to give her this as a gift that every year she'll always be able to say, my daughter gave me the greatest gift of turning my sacrifice, right, into something that everybody can enjoy around the world. Whether you've ever met Vicky Cakes, you've eaten at her table. You've now sat at her table. You've now felt that love. You've now enjoyed that product of her nurturing and her attention and her affection for her family in this meal. And so I poured that into what we created. And I am so grateful, because here we are, 2024, 5 years later, come this Mother's Day, and we will still be celebrating and rocking her still here, you know, alive and well, able to see it come to fruition. And it's something that she didn't have to do herself. You know, like, a recipe she created out of necessity is now building a legacy off of her name and likeness. And I'm just grateful to have, like, this piece of history in our family that we've been able to do, you know, leave our mark here on the world. So that's past, you know, we're present. Yeah. And
well, let me interject there, because what, and you know, I don't say this is not because we're on the podcast, because, like, everybody knows, people even had thought I had steak in Vicky Cakes. We post it, we share it, we love it so much. So this is not fluff. This is my girl and we're family. No. My kids feel the exact same way about Vicky Cakes. Like, they adore it. They ask for it by name. We keep it in stock. You already know we order hundreds at a time, whether I'm giving them away or whether it's to eat at home. it has definitely brought that Sunday morning vibe to our family. Every Sunday we're making pancakes, you know. We might switch it up here and there, but it's not common, you know. It's definitely where they want Vicky cakes, and we top it, we do all types of things. And so to hear the story and to know that my kids get to experience that, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty dope. Like, that's changing. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's like really the point. And it's funny because by the time the following year, like we hadn't even hit 1 year in business, the panorama came. And when that happened, everybody was at home. Like, you have a pandemic and everybody has to eat together. Everybody got to be at the house together. You have to shelter in place. You literally cannot leave your house. You know, like, so it was that element of the brand being able to literally become an anchor. Like, the marketing became easier to do because it's like, now y'all got to sit at home. Now y'all got to make eye contact. Now y'all got to get in the kitchen and see what ingredients y'all got. So it was really good. And that's, we saw in, I mean, as many of minority-owned businesses saw a huge uptick in their traffic, their exposure, and things like that. But I think on our side, before our story and stuff could even be shared, we got a huge uptick on Amazon because we were a shelf-stable product. So when people couldn't go to grocery stores and all of that, or the stuff online was sold out, they were finding our listing, and we're dairy-free and we're egg-free. So you have people with children with allergens and they only use certain kind of flours or mixes or, you know, ingredients. They were able to do that with our product, like kind of like stockpiling, if you will. And so it was really, you know, interesting and fun to see that happen as well. That element that I'm like, okay, we need to lean in on that more once we come out of this and we can use that as a marketing point. So it's just really been good. And children are the biggest truth tellers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, your family loving our product is everything. And I appreciate you so much. So it ain't no cap. Amanda is the real deal. Don't make me pull up her order form. The Yum Crumbs and the Vicky Cakes go together real bad. And I appreciate you so very much for that love. Like, that's something else. And next we're going to get into the Yum Crumbs story. But that's like really huge when you have a product that does have to accompany something else, right? Like, you have a dessert topping. Let me tell you, you have people who literally will know that somebody else's something will go good with their stuff, but they just won't use it because, you know? And it's a sickness. It's a mental sickness. Let's be very clear. When you know that you can, you know, put things together and be intentional about exposure and collaboration and partnership in that way, and you don't do it, and it's in your power and capacity to do it, you have to do a heart check at that point. But Amanda, you've been so consistent about that from day one, with having us in PR boxes, right? Like, having us in content. Don't think I forgot. Okay. I have a drafted post right now for y'all. Okay. On social media, with how a collaboration recipe that you all had done was, it was a picture, but it was on you all Shark Tank banners when you all were on Shark Tank pitching. I'm like, that's Vicky Cakes right there. Don't nobody know. But that's that Vicky Cakes waffle, bitch. Like, that is a Vicky Cakes waffle right there. So it was. I was really get y'all in
the mix. Was crazy. But when I was talking to the producers, I had the picture with the bag, and I was like, I have her permission, because they kept saying, like, you need to have permission from everybody that you're going to show. But even like our website, they took off. So they were like so strategic on how they did it. But I was like, they were like, do you want to use another picture? I was like, nope. So I cropped it, like, so because we know, right? And then we could do a side by side of the actual picture that had the big cakes and Yum Crumbs and the crop picture. So we already know.
We know what has happened, okay? But that is love. That is love and appreciation for me and for you. Like, just seeing that and having that mindset and that forethought and that intentionality, okay? So when you're growing and you're being, you realize, like, the light that you are, you realize the gift that you have, and that it's not just for you, but it's for other people. So Amanda wouldn't have a minority-owned, Black-owned, woman-owned pancake mix to share if I hadn't followed through like with the vision that was shown to me. This relationship wouldn't have happened because she would go on to have a Yum Crumbs vision. But if Vicky Cakes didn't exist, she would end up using another brand of pancake mix because she was going to put them Yum Crumbs in a pancake mix. Let's be very clear, because they go very well together with anything. But for sure, that opportunity wouldn't have been presented to me. That opportunity wouldn't be something that she could, you know, use to give exposure to another brand and to collaborate with. So I am eternally grateful for you.
Same here. You made an amazing product. My God. Like I said, remember I told you that one time? I just didn't take a picture of it. And I was so mad. But my kids had the skillet. They had the pancakes and they had the spatula. And that when I came down in the morning, that was the first thing I see in the kitchen. So my kids have intentions too.
Come on, hints. They was like, sis, I don't know what you came down here to do. But here you go. Make these pancakes. Right. So we love that. So now moving on from the Vicky Cake story, let's get into the Yum Crumbs. Okay. Tell us about these crumbs because we all know what we can compare them to if you know. But Amanda has something better than that. Okay.
I think so. So, as a serial entrepreneur, I started out this journey, as a baker. So I was a cake decorator, I would say 2014. And then what I thought was success, right? Well, it was actually complete burnout, but I felt like the next level had to be a bakery because I was so booked and busy. And, shout out to my business coach for that term. I wasn't productively producing, right? Those are her key terms that she used when we were, she's business coach. I say life coach. She got my life together. But back then I was so booked and busy that I thought I was doing something. And the next step was logically to have a bakery. Mm-hmm. And so I went and jumped in and we saved up. My husband took out a 401k from his corporate job and we took our tax return. And mind you, we were living paycheck to paycheck. Like we were living, like I was a stay-at-home mom. We had 4 children at this time, homeschooling them. So like, but I was constantly busy with orders and stuff. And I had no idea how to run a business, profits, time, balance, like all that stuff. So I kind of like adapted to this like chaotic lifestyle. And so we went and opened up a bakery. We became the word of the town, and I was making these strawberry shortcake cupcakes, and they were the it thing. Like people were lining up. Like we were successful at our bakery. It was Cakery 26, and so we were known for our custom cakes, but we had a like coffee specialty side. That's like the part I really enjoyed the most. And when that happened, life was happening. Like life was life and heavy. Like our people that we were renting from were selling the house, and our car Expedition had broke down on the highway delivering a wedding cake. So many things were happening that we couldn't keep up with the momentum, you know, of what we were doing at the shop. And so eventually the AC got struck by lightning, one storm, long story. We had to close our doors. Right. So, a lot of times people were always asking like, oh my God, the strawberry crunch, like, where is that? Like, you know, we missed it. Like, do you sell it anywhere? And we didn't until a baker friend ended up opening up a custom cake shop. And here's collaboration, not competition, right? Because I could have easily been like, you know, oh, how are you just going to open up? You know, it was, but this became like one of my closest friends. And she was like, would you bottle up that crumble mix that she used to make, you know? And I was like, absolutely. I was like, you would buy it? Cause I was just going to make it for her. You know, she was like, no, I'm gonna pay you and I'm going to buy it because if I don't have to make anything similar, it doesn't come out like yours. She was like, so I'm not going to sit here and like hustle bustle with this. I just want to throw it on some cupcakes and sell it. And that's what she did. So I packaged it. She started buying it and she then opened up a bakery in the mall and that was her top seller. That was like her number one selling cupcake. And then, you know, we pitched to, I brought it to Delson. I'm like, look, you know, people will buy it. And we never considered it. You know, it was never a thought. We were always just like in this survival mode that we didn't think of like where this would go, you know? And so he was like, is there competition out there? He's one supporter. So it doesn't matter if I say I wanted to take alpacas and sell their fertilized poo. He would have been there for me because, you know, he understands that I have passion behind it. I don't know where it's going to lead, but there was this desire to retire him from corporate America and I wanted him to be, we just wanted to be a family 24/7. Like that's, we just enjoyed each other's company. We hated the fact that he would be leaving for 8-9 hours of the day, you know? So that was the only vision we had, was that it was going to be our 5 children. At this time, we had another one. It was going to be our 5 children, husband and wife, mom and dad, living together and not struggling. Like that was the only vision. And so he was like, is there competition? I said, not really. Like besides people making it themselves, you know, but it doesn't look like ours. It doesn't taste like ours, you know? And so he was like, let's go for it. And then this vision popped up. And the only vision I seen was a warehouse, like a big factory. And it was like 30 or 40 employees. And we all had like lab coats on and hair nets on. And it was a drone picture above. And it was just like us, like, you know, just like celebrating, you know, yes. That was the only picture. I didn't see any other vision. The logo, the where would be like under its crumbs, you know, like I didn't think logically. I wasn't understanding, you know, the food science behind it, any of that. It was just that vision. That was all I needed. Right. Once I seen that, I was like, oh, I don't get visions for no reason. Like you said, we're visionaries. Like, so it's like that vision was for something. And so I'm going to commit. I'm like, okay, even though I've done failed and closed down 7 other businesses or, you know, hustles or whatever they would be, I'm going to give this one my all. And so when I announced it, you know, you had the naysayers that were like, oh, another business? Weren't you just doing life casting on, you know, for funeral homes? Weren't you just doing sonography? Like, weren't you? I was that person, you know? And so I was like, nope, this is it. This is, I'm pretty confident. And that it was just a feeling. So yeah. We went and we reached out to certain influencers. I created the image. I actually put forth a lot of money that I didn't think I would do again for another business, to get the logo, to get the website, to get the email. Like I just wanted it all nicely presented. But my capacity then for nicely presented is way different now, right? I look back and I'm like, oh my God, that was my content picture. Like that was my launch picture. I would never launch like that now, right? But it worked. I didn't care. I had blinders on it. It didn't matter how it was coming out. You know, it was just, I had the vision. So you guys were just going to take it or love it, like take it or leave it, you know, like, and so yeah, we did that. We launched it. We got it to an influencer. And I always say shout out to Jeremy for seeing the vision behind it. And he shared it. And that was it. It just took that one influencer, that one opportunity, that one chance. And that's why I try to be that and like do a lot of collaborations. I don't think we don't have the highest social media. We don't have, you know, all of that. But it was just that one moment of collaboration. And so if I could be that for any collaboration, I'm going to do that. You know what I mean? Because that could just be that one moment. Yep. That's what took our business. And we started getting sales consistently ever since. But this time, because of our past failures, I was, intentional. I was intentional on what I was going to do with the money. So I know for like with Cakery, with all the ups and downs that it had, it took care of our personal lifestyle too. Like and lifestyle, we were as poor as it could be. But it was paying our rent. It was paying the shop rent. It was paying, you know, our light bill as well as the shop. So it was doing too much too soon. Okay. Where it didn't have that, where we call now cash flow, you know, like working capital inside your business, keeping that cash flow positive. Because even if you're making money, there's still going to be unforeseen things or the timing of when, you know, you can make $30,000. But if your bills are $45,000 for that month, and it's going to take you 2 more weeks to get, you know, you have to just make sure you have positive cash flow. So anyway, so that's what I kept doing. I kept reinvesting back into the business. And from there, the passion just kept growing when I started seeing that it was working. Like, you know, people were liking the product and there was feedback and there was like different changes. And we just kind of kept going forth. But then we run into, you know, things like, you know, food safety, getting a commercial space, understanding the food science behind it, shelf stability. Because like, you know, of course, like you have with pancake mix, it kind of comes shelf stable. You know, it's not very much you have to do to doctor it. But for a baked good, there's so much more that goes involved. And so that was my next course of action. Like as we were learning. So 2019, we developed everything, but we didn't launch until 2020. And so in between that time in 2019, I took food science very seriously. So I took a course on food science on top of food safety, traditional, like, you know, what we know, like for cottage laws and stuff like that. But I took it. I made sure I kept going up a notch and understanding microorganisms and just the product in itself. And I changed the formulation from our first one because it wasn't shelf stable. You know, because we found out that through testing that it wasn't going to be something that could be for longevity. So then we just reformulated and kept coming back to the table. And then from there, we launched this product in 2020 and we just kept improving the processes. And now, you know, I look back and I still like can't even, I had to like draw out this whole plan because I'm in awe with where it took us. Like, never did I think like we were living, we were struggling. But what I think really helped was that our family dynamic, that foundation that we had, you know, it was always the world, like us against the world. It was never us against each other and then against the world. And I think that's what helped propel our vision. You know, once we started understanding that our mindset is what's causing our reality, you know, that we didn't want to accept the terms that were presented to us of what it looked like. It looked like we would need to give up entrepreneurship. It looked like we need to both go back to corporate America. It looked like we need to put our kids in public school. It looked like we need to do all that to society. And we just looked at each other and said, this is not our reality. This is just a stepping stone. And that's exactly what it was. So from 2019, our life quality started changing as far as like, we weren't so wrapped up on how we were going to survive. We just knew we were going to, and we started living a little bit more. And the pandemic hit and I was excited, you know, cause I'm an introvert. Like I love meeting people and stuff like that. But my mom was like, when the pandemic happened, she was like, you were prepared for this. Yeah. I homeschool already. We don't go out socially. Like we don't, there was like nothing that was happening. You know, we Instacart all the time anyway. So it was like, it was just a perfect setup. It was like, nope, can't go anywhere. So when we did drive, it was like the world was like empty and the world calmed down for us. And I felt like at that time it was, we were able to get our frequency heard because the world got quiet, you know, and we were able to use this time, that this quiet moment, to propel what we needed to propel. And we didn't go in knowing on like anything about business, from taxes to, you know, licensing, certifications, all that. We just did it. Like, and every time there was a roadblock, we just knew there was this vision. And until I get to this vision, we're not stopping, you know, like until I see that, which is so crazy because we just got our 10,000 square foot facility. Woo-woo! And it's the vision, like, and I didn't know. Remember when we were on the phone not too long ago? I'm sorry to jump off topic, but we were on the phone and I was like, oh man, Christian, I have like 3 or 4 choices. I just don't know. That building wasn't one of them. And I was like, you know, and I was trying to stay true to the vision, but I'm like, man, I'm torn. There's this one that's 40 minutes away. There's this one. There's this one. There's this one. And our realtor calls and says, hey, there's this one. But I was like, looking, I'm like, oh, what's more money? You know, we can't own it right away. We have to wait 6 months. Like, it was just a little, like, looked a little different than what I thought it would be. And we took a picture and I sent you that picture. And I was like, in my mind, when I looked back at what I sent, I was like, that's the building. Mm. It's just not done yet. But that was the building with 36 and or 30. I keep saying 36. So it might be, but between 30 and 40. Yeah. It could be. Yeah. And I'll be crazy if we come back and have another episode and it's 36. But that was the building, you know, and in my vision. And so I'm super excited about that. Like, this was just a journey. It's more so a family journey. It's more so, you know, the struggles. I always relate to the pursuit of happiness because I cry every time I watch it. I watch that movie at least twice a year because it's just something that grounds me to understand that, you know, remembering where we came from and the struggles that we came from as a family. The only difference with the pursuit is that the wife was not wifing the way she should have been wifing. Okay. You never seen The Pursuit of Happiness?
It's been on in the background.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, intention.
No, I need to. Yeah. I know for sure Courtney has, but I need to check it out.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely the Jean Vilma story, except for we were all together in that subway room, you know, keeping our life together, you know, yeah, what I mean? And yeah, keeping it love and keeping it, you know, keeping the passion, all that stuff there. So that's definitely where the Yum Crumb story comes from. It's definitely overcoming adversities, overcoming the trials, overcoming life's battles, and making something that we purchased our first home from. Like, never, we always said that we were not ready to buy a house, right? And every time we were in corporate America, and we would like, they're like, get a pre-approval. We had a friend that was a realtor, and she was like big on us owning a home. She was like, do it, do it. They pre-approved us for $75,000. I was like, in 2018, what house are you getting? You know, what? Like, at all, a mobile home, anything like that. So, but every time we would rent, the seller would sell the house, you know? So we were always bouncing around, you know, and it was not the lifestyle we wanted for our children, you know? So Yum Crumb's allotted for so much, you know, it's more than just the most amazing dessert topping, the most versatile dessert topping. Like, hey, I could talk about it like that. But it's so much more for us. And I know we're not the only entrepreneurs that have that story, you know, that are overcoming adversities and waiting for that moment to have a product or an idea or a thought, yeah, to manifest itself out to be the exact thing their family needed to survive or to thrive, you know. So to know that my kids don't have to get older and have to worry about working in corporate America, or they don't have to worry about learning about taxes and credit and all that stuff, because I want them to live. Like, I'm done with that rat race, right? Like, we lived the rat race. I want our kids to experience something different. I'm not trying to have them gain hard shells to, you know, like, so it's like, I know it's a little off topic, but that's Yum Crumbs. Like, that's how I view it. That's how I see it. It was the saving grace for our family and our future, you know? So, that's, but awesome. Yeah.
No, that's good. And the background and knowing the foundation of the company, mm-hmm, and what drove you to do what you have done and to believe in it. And the interest was literally the seed. So, like, your friend, yeah, that had the bakery, has she not followed her vision, her purpose, right, to start and, yeah, then make the request, which would then let you know there's interest here. And I should probably do something else with this. And then taking it to your husband who believes in you. That's the intention and that support system and why, right, community is so important, but also like the foundation, because there's two important elements here that are alike. You went to your husband and let him know and see that this is something that is viable, that we should do something else with. Same thing, me going to Courtney and saying, I'm ready to do Vicky Cakes. At any point in that story of presentation, we could have gotten shut down. We could have been, right, unsupported. There could have been no interest. There could have been doubt, like, okay, let's do a little bit more first and see where this goes. But, right, then to have somebody immediately believe, like, ask, what's the next steps? What can I do? Like, how do we
resolve?
No resistance. Yeah. And it's very important, like, like having a church background, I used to always hear being unequally yoked, you know, right, like all of that in the terms of relationships and usually, you know, intimacy, being with someone that's not a spiritual, religious, Christian person or whatever, the same background. But then now being in entrepreneurship, I understand that you can be unequally yoked in any relationship, yep, in any setting and for any reason. It doesn't have to be, you know, intimacy and personal relationship that way. But it can be just in life and in general, and you wanting something that may not be something someone else is going to support or know how to support or have the capacity to support. But, right, when you're with someone that can truly trust and believe and say, okay, I know Amanda don't be on no bull. Amanda don't just come up with random stuff. I trust her. I believe
her.
Well, I do. Okay.
No, I talk about the pig. Mm-hmm. I told you about the pig.
Yes. I'm sorry. So we know Christian don't come over here with no bull. I'm sorry. No, but he still knows. Like, he trusts that your good heart and your good ideas, you know, like, I'm gonna let her go off on this one. She's gonna come back on her own. I ain't gonna try to say her no more. But when you know, you know. And like, even as you grow, like, some of that stuff starts to get filtered out. Like, I'm, mm-hmm, pretty sure there are a lot of ideas that you have now that you like probably self-reel. Like, let me, yeah, reel myself back in. Let me not even, yeah, go on over to the Delson and say this out loud. Let me sit down and focus. And so it's like that for me. Like, There are a lot of good ideas, but do they need to be expressed? Do you need to go take this over here so this man can support you and go off on this tangent with you? No, I'm not going to tell him. I'm not going to send him this link. Don't do it. So it's just growth and it's the process. And now you're 4 years later, we're 5 years later and still learning, but still here, you know,
yeah,
still
thriving. Thriving. Yeah.
Yes. And that is
in
the
all aspects.
That's to me is the goal, not to just do something to be doing it, but to have longevity and to see that vision like come into fruition. It's not going to happen instantly. There is no overnight success. It may feel like it because, you know, you have a lot
of dark viral.
Go viral. You have moments that you don't expect, but there is a lot of foundation building and there's a lot of challenge and tests. And they all do help you, like, to make better decisions once great opportunities present themselves so you don't squander them, like, so you don't fumble the ball, because that's real. And I don't know, this may end up having to be like a two-part episode where we get into the great opportunities that have come from us saying yes to our vision. Because, again, like I said, there have been so many things that people... You're not going to get to where you want to be by doing nothing. Like, none of this stuff happens by you making excuses. They all happen by you making adjustments, by you actually moving towards the door. I like to use the analogy of like the automatic doors at Walmart. You don't pull up to Walmart and just see the doors just opening and closing on their own. They only open when people are walking towards them. They're motion activated. They're motion detectors. So they only open when there is something coming towards it. And that's how it is with your vision, with your dream, with your ideas, with your purpose. It's only going to reveal itself when you're in motion towards it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and that's, we were talking about that before in episode one, you're as roadblocks or however you want to call them. Some could be just little rocks. You may trip over air. Sometimes it just happens that way. Yes. You might be a little clumsy, but taking that time, it's not a delay for the end. It's just a delay to increase your capacity. You know what I mean? But I think the biggest thing is resistance. We talked about that a little earlier. Letting go of that resistance does so much for your life, like in all aspects, you know, because if you meet it with resistance, if you're like, well, it doesn't make sense, or you're trying to hit at logical, just move. Like, just the same way the bee doesn't know where it's sourcing their pollen from or the next flower. They just go. They listen to their intuition. You know when this is a bad deal. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like, you know, but to just start. Both of our things was just starting. You had mentioned you guys would watch Shark Tank. We did too. In like from 2008 all the way on. I remember I did a hashtag. I actually shared it after we launched on Shark Tank. We aired on the 17th of November. And then I think like the 23rd of November, I got a memory from Facebook that said hashtag Shark Tank in 2014. Wow. I don't remember where we were, what we were doing. I know I was a baker at that time, custom cakes and things like that. And we were just like building the bakery. So I could only imagine what I was thinking at that time, right? Big visionary. Didn't know where it was coming from, just knew it would be there. And I just put hashtag, and to see that memory pop up 9 years later, we were on Shark Tank. It tells you it doesn't happen overnight. You don't know when, but being true to your power, your gift, your thought, your those things, allow it to be true. You know what I mean? Like, and that's where it means living in your truth or understanding your truth and things like that, because you don't know what you're manifesting, whether it be for now, 30 days from now, 9 years from now, you know, but stay true to that vision, you know, make adjustments. You know, but if you want the success, you want the happy marriage, you want the family with kids, you can have all of that, even if your reality right now doesn't seem that way.
Absolutely. Yes. So that starting point is everything. Like, waiting for perfection is the biggest stumbling block. Do not wait for it to be perfect. Even now in business, I have to tell myself, you are not waiting for all of the pieces to fall into place, are you? Because that ain't gonna happen. And I mean, mm-hmm. like some people may be like, well, yeah, of course it ain't gonna happen because you're saying it's not. No, it's not gonna happen because you're gonna keep on moving the goalpost on what perfection is.
Right.
You know, saying like, no, I have to wait till this comes through. I have to wait till that gets done. Well, there's this. I saw this online. Somebody had said they had a problem with this. So I'm gonna wait and see how they play out. You're always gonna be moving, and you'll always have, I don't say self-fulfilling prophecies, but you'll always have something that will make you feel like validated in what you thought. Like, see, that's why I ain't even do it.
Right.
Because no. that probably wouldn't have been your outcome if you had mm-hmm. done it. So mm-hmm. you have to like really have that mental capacity to kind of override your common, I don't want to say common sense, but logic. We have done right. so many things that defy logic. Like how yeah. we talk about defying gravity. I know for a fact I didn't do shit. I should have did.
Yep. You know how many times I'll get a Facebook ad manager or an agency and they're like, you did all this with boosted posts? Sure did.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have listened to the gurus on YouTube and to all these, they yeah. would have said, don't do boosted posts. But yet boosted posts gave us a 15X on our, you know, our on our investment. Like, it's like, come on,
yes.
you know? But what I say is that there's, and that's how my view is it on it, was that there's over 300 million people in our nation, right? If I launch and it reached 1,000 people and it wasn't perfection, and I can use that money if I sold to 10 people and I use that to now get better photographs, it wasn't like I reached everybody. I only reached a small amount. So now my improvements will now reach more, and then I'm going to prove again, and I'm going to reach more, you know, that's what we have to do as small entrepreneurs heading into CPG. We don't have inheritance. My kids will have trust that if they want to tap into it and start a business, they can start out however they want from the gate. They can have a branding manager. They can have packaging. They can have all that stuff done. But because we were starting out where we're starting out, we didn't have the tools yet, you know, none of us, like, we're literally building those tools right now. And hopefully people joining in our podcast can start picking those tools to where they can actually maybe be at step five when they start versus the step one that we started. But it's starting.
Yes.
Just starting. It doesn't have to be the now, safety wise. Absolutely. I'm going to always advocate for if you're putting out a product that can potentially harm someone. Safety first, you know?
For sure. Or just have good insurance.
Okay.
You're gonna get sued. You too. If you want a 6-month business plan, or if you want a 60-year business plan, which one do you want? Okay. Mm-hmm. Just look at that right there.
Yeah.
But no, that's really good. And so I think that would be a good place to stick a pin in it for this episode, because on the next one, I want to get into like the foundations of the CPG industry, the products that we have created and the demographics that they serve, and kind of get like into some of the terminology. Cause I know just in that sentence, I just said alone, I didn't say things people probably don't understand. So we talking about demographics, we talking about, you know, sourcing, supplies, all of that. You've mentioned certifications, you've mentioned food science that nobody is majority out here considering. I saw, I believe, Jeremy, that you mentioned, the baker, he had did a reel that came through my FYP about people using glitter on their food that ain't edible. Like, literally, they just sprinkling regular glitter, okay? Your craft, your art glitter down from the Crayola, all right? On people's strawberries and cakes. And if you want to wake up unalive, that's your business. But don't do it, okay? So it's just those fundamentals.
Listen, I'm like, then why use fondant? Use Play-Doh. That's non-toxic too. Why use edible glue? Use Elmer's glue to stick on the decorations. I don't understand. Like,
let's do it.
The justification is unreal. But anyway.
It is. So these are the foundations that I think once you start having conversation, you can start critically thinking about what you're starting or what you're doing, and just changing some things up and implementing information to shift so that you can be more successful in this space. Because what we're sharing, and again, the name of this podcast is Packaged for Success. You don't want to just put something out there because you can find packaging, because you can find products to resell or to, you know, rebrand. You want to actually be successful at doing what you're doing. And you don't want it to just be a flash in the pan, even if you don't reach the masses and go, you know, get distributed to all of the retailers in the world. you want to have a sustainable business, you right. know, something that you can stand behind and you can proudly tell people about, pass off your card or have them scan your QR code to link up with you or whatever. You just want to be a real legit operation.
Right.
And so how do we do that?
Yeah.
And so we have our origin story. So I think that is, that's great. You know, how we got started. We're here. We've laid that foundation. Next conversation, definitely getting into some more particulars. You all are free to, you know, visit our community on Facebook, join that, follow us on Instagram at the Package for Success, IG page as well. And ask your questions, submit some, you know, suggestions for topics and podcast episodes that you would like for us to touch on and to enlighten you guys, because from as much as experience as we have, that's where we will pour from.
Yes. Absolutely. I'm super excited because there's a lot of diving. And this is what we do on a natural basis. So I think we're going to hit it right there on the head into like the nitty gritty of what we experience in the CPG world and how you have to be a shape shifter. So we could touch on that next episode. But
yes. Okay. So this is going to be good. See, you guys, we're setting the stage for the next. So make sure that you tune in for next week's episode. But until then, okay, that's a wrap for this week.
It's a wrap.
Yes. That's a wrap great. On another amazing episode of Package for Success. Now, don't forget, your next assignment after this class, after the bell rings, you got to subscribe. You got to subscribe to the podcast and then leave a review. So they can do that on any of their favorite podcast platforms.
Share us. Yeah, share it. Follow us on IG, Facebook. Find us on LinkedIn. I'll make sure that Vicky Cakes has their LinkedIn ready.
Yes. Just me.
Find us. Yeah.
Christian me her LinkedIn. Okay.
There we go.
Get to Vicky Cakes later on. But as for me and my house, I need a LinkedIn.
Let's yes. do all the things. But yeah, share us. Let other people find us. If you know an inspiring entrepreneur, tag them, share it, all that good stuff. And yeah, we can't wait till next time.
Yeah, we look forward to sharing more and connecting with you all later. So y'all take care. Thank y'all for listening.
Goodbye, goodbye.
This podcast is a production of 1217 Media.